The reading today is taken from Colossians 3. It's page 1184 on my Bible, which is probably similar to the one that you have. Living. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you, Laura. I really love this chapter of the Bible. Amy and I had it at our wedding, in fact, quite a bit of it anyway. And we had it rewritten by a friend of ours who does a lot of spoken word, and he rewrote it in a really contemporary way, so it has a lot of meaning for me. And it's actually an amazing passage, and I think sometimes just reading through it like that doesn't do justice to it, although Laura read it very well, obviously. But if you get a chance later, I'd really encourage you to take time and have a look at this passage. I'm just going to move this so I can actually see my notes. So we have just finished a series here at this church on the Sermon on the Mount, which is probably Jesus' most famous teaching in the whole of the Bible, really. And we looked at it from the perspective, sorry if you've heard this a million times, but we looked at it from the perspective of life challenges, the things that shape our lives, the challenges that we all face. And if I had to pick a passage of the Bible to kind of bring that all together, it would be this one. And in fact, I have picked a passage of the Bible to bring it all together, and it is this one. But this would be it, because I think it sums up so much of what we read in the Sermon on the Mount, but in a kind of Paulish way, you know, the way Paul writes. And in this chapter, he's writing to a church that he has such a deep affection for, such a deep love for. And it's a church in its infancy, so a sort of a new church, a new community in this new movement of faith that has sprung up. And he's encouraging them to look out for false teachers, for people that are going to lead them astray. And some things that Paul writes, if you've ever read the New Testament, some things he writes are really confusing, really, really confusing. You read them and think, I don't have a clue what that meant then, let alone what it means for us now. And it's no wonder in some ways, because his letters predate the Gospels that we have in the Bible. They were written before the Gospels were even written. So it's not surprising that sometimes we don't really know what he's talking about, and we have to dig a little deeper. But today's passage isn't one of those. Today's passage is one of those that when you read it, he could have been writing to a church today in the 21st century. It's incredibly relevant to us and our situations. So before we share communion this morning, I'd like us to think about this passage but from a particular angle, from which I think the rest of the passage actually flows. And I think it's something that's particularly relevant to us today for reasons that will become apparent. And the bit I want to focus on is in verse 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." I think Paul's a bit of a genius. I think, you know, we hear so much today about mental health, and Paul writes so much about our minds and the way we use our minds and the way we think. I often think that Paul doesn't tell us so much what to believe as how to believe, how to hold our beliefs. He's very keen that we have a right mind, because he knows that's from where life flows, right thinking. So when I was a new Christian, I often talk about when I was a new Christian, because I look back and it was such a strange time of my life. I was such a zealot. I took verses like this far too literally. And I think I had a bit of an immature one-track mind. You might call it a dualistic mind. It was this or that. It was all or nothing. And I'd read a verse like this, and the way I interpreted it was, okay, so everything in my life now must be about God, must be about heaven, must be fixed on someday in the future that I'm with God. So that meant, in my zealous ways, that, and I've said this before, every piece of music had to be Christian music. So out went Dance Hits 95 and Celine Dion. And I know I had Celine Dion in my collection. It's awful. But they all went. I couldn't have any of that because that was irrelevant to me now. And TV, you know, couldn't watch all the stuff anymore that my sister was watching. Used to stand in the corner of the room tutting when she was watching Friends or something like this. The only thing that survived the cut was Match of the Day, obviously. But these things, you know, I thought, well, they shouldn't interest me anymore because my mind's got to be set on other things. And I actually gave up some of the things that I really enjoyed doing, which broke my dad's heart, really, because he used to love watching me running. I used to compete in athletics, and I just stopped. I thought, I'm not interested in this anymore. And do you know what? You might look at me and think, well, that's a bit strange. And it was a bit strange, to be honest. But actually, I had a view that a lot of churches hold as well. A view that actually says things on earth don't really matter. It's only things that are going to happen in heaven that really matter. I think the way I view people at that time changed as well. My friendships became a bit more like projects. Became concerned with getting people into heaven. I went from being people's friends to being a rescuer. I've got to sort them out. I've got to fix them. And I think I did some good in that time. You know, I prayed for people. I loved people. But I became the archetype of this phrase. You may have heard it. Have you ever heard someone described as being so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good? I think that would sum up probably where I was at. Because everything was fixated on someday in the future, and that largely meant that everything in the here and now was insignificant. Has anyone else had that experience? No. Nick, yes. Thank you, Nick. Let's chat later. But you may have known someone like that, or someone that you could say, yeah, they've been so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. And like I said, it's not just the naivety of a 16-year-old zealot, but I've had experience of church where that kind of thinking's there, that actually what happens here and now doesn't matter. The environment doesn't matter because we're all going to evacuate the planet and go to heaven anyway. So let's just do what we want to the planet. Justice doesn't matter. These things, that kind of thinking can creep into our faith if we're not careful. And I think Paul in this passage actually, even though it could look like he's saying that, rescues us from that kind of thinking. totally rescues us from it, because the rest of the passage flows out of what he says there. Set your minds on things above. And we need to keep those things in context. Keep those words in context. Because Paul's fixation isn't someday in the future. Paul is concerned with that we fix our minds on heavenly things, things that matter, in relation to how they shape our lives in the here and now, in so much as they make a difference and transform our world in the here and now. To update that old saying that I think applied to me, I think Paul constantly tells people to be heavenly minded so that we're of earthly good. Not heavenly minded so that we're not of earthly good, but so that we are of earthly good. So I'm going to look at how that plays out a little bit. The first thing is, and I'm not going to ignore these first words, the first words in this chapter he says, since you have been raised with Christ. Now you can just sweep over those sometimes, and it might be a bit confusing. But since you have been raised with Christ, Paul is talking about an eternal life that starts now, in the here and now, not someday in the future. He's saying, you've already been raised with Christ. You've already said goodbye to your old life, your old way of living. An eternal life starts now. Therefore, put to death, he says, things that won't last, things that don't live in God. He calls these things sins, and he lists a load of them. I'll read a few. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. And then he goes on, don't lie to each other. Get rid of things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He's kind of saying, don't waste your time with these things. They're the old way of life, and they'll be judged, they'll pass away. When God sets things right, they're not the things that are going to last. He's concerned with who we're becoming. I wish I'd known that back in my zealous days, that he was more concerned with who I was becoming rather than which band I listened to, what music I listened to. Then he goes on to say, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I love this. Here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised. And he goes on to list a few things. But Christ is in all. And Christ is all. Paul's saying that the mind that's fixed on things that really matter, heavenly things, knows that there's no earthly divisions that we kind of build between one another. Earthly divisions are passing away. Because the earthly way of thinking thinks that God's like me. That's God's one of us, not one of them. In fact, we even make God a he. We make God to fit our boundaries. But the mind that's fixed on eternal things knows that Christ is in all and through all. That he doesn't, and if that doesn't rock our thinking about God, I don't know what will. And we need to allow that to rock our thinking of God. That God doesn't hold the same boundaries we do about people. And we need to be really careful when making distinctions about who is in and who is out. In fact, I think Paul would say, don't do it. Don't do that. God, Christ is in all and is all. And then Paul goes on to address what the heavenly mind does. And this is beautiful. This is the bit we had read at our wedding. He says, the heavenly mind clothes itself in things that are eternal, that do matter, that are of ultimate concern, clothes itself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The mind set on things above bears with each other and forgives whatever grievances you have. I wonder whether that's because the mind set on God, really set on God, knows that at the heart of the good news is forgiveness. It knows that it's been forgiven. And it knows that forgiveness is the way. It's the way everything works. It's the entire gospel, if you like, the good news. Forgiveness is at the heart of it. Forgiveness of one another. Forgiveness for ourselves. So I think Paul is saying that the mind set on things above is the mind that is really involved in the transformation of the here and now. Not waiting to escape the here and now, but working for its transformation. He paints a vision of the picture of the future in God and says, bring it into the here and now. Make it happen. Make it reality here. Forgive one another because that is going to last. Love one another because love lasts. And because of that, be patient and gentle and kind with one another. In fact, it's pretty much like what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Or should I say the prayer he prayed. He taught his disciples to pray. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As it will be one day, make it so now. And over all these virtues, put on love. Because God is love. And it's a really short message this morning. That's essentially it. Because I really want us to put that into practice as we take communion this morning. But a question I want to put out there is a bit of a test, really. And it's to ask, are we becoming more loving, compassionate, patient, kind, gentle? All those things that Paul talks about. And if we're not, it's a good question to ask, are we a bit earthly minded? Are we a bit protective of ourselves and our own stuff? Or are we setting our minds on things above, things that really, really matter, things of eternal consequence? And I want to leave us with those thoughts as we go into communion this morning, because I think communion is such a beautiful image of that eternal reality. And I'm going to mention that in a minute as we lead in. But first, I want to pray. So let's pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer that will help us lead into sharing communion with one another this morning. So the first part is going to be a chance for us to bring those things before God that we're seeking forgiveness for, that we want to put right, that we want to turn from. You might have things that you want to call to mind, that you want to bring to God and just say, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive us for when we've been fooled into thinking that our minds were on heavenly things, but that made us unconcerned with the present, with the here and now. When that mind made us unconcerned with this world you've given us, with justice, with people. When we've been judgmental of others. And Lord, forgive us for when we've been so earthly minded that we've been of no earthly good. When we've been concerned with selfish gain. When we've been protective of our own interests to the exclusion of the interests of others. When we've worshipped the gift and not the giver. And so may we be people whose hearts are set on things above. Whose hearts are set on things that of ultimate concern. The lasting and imperishable, as Paul puts it. People whose lives reflect a kingdom on earth that will go on for eternity. And people who invite others to do the same. Amen.